Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Monday, October 7, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Andy Poland comes your way in mere minutes. A programming change to alert you listeners to, and that is today's podcast will contain no results from Sunday's Week 5 action and the National Football League. I know you're probably like, what the hell, man? Well, I'm going to tell you the hell, man, right now. I am trying to wrestle my, quote, production schedule of this wonderful podcast, this outstanding top-shelf audio entertainment product, into something more manageable for my life. Yes, my life. It has dawned on me that even though I say, you know what, I'll knock out the podcast around 5, 6 o'clock, it's only a half an hour, give or take, it's not hard. Hell, Zabe, you've been doing this for how many years? 30 years, sports radio and shows, national shows, now the podcast. Big deal. Be easy. And it is, quote, easy, but it doesn't mean I don't stress about it during the day. It doesn't mean I don't think about it during the day. It doesn't mean that I don't scroll and bookmark and save excessively during the day. I need to reclaim the back half of my days. I think I'll be a lot happier, maybe healthier, and I think the podcast will be just fine. So it's also beneficial that today with Andy, we're going to talk about a lot of college football because it was a bonkers Saturday in college. And we're in the now new 12-team playoff era, which is also amazing. And so therefore, what usually would happen on Monday is everyone, including myself, gets wrapped up in what happened in the NFL, and Saturday's action kind of fades away. This will help put Saturdays in college football more in the spotlight on Mondays, and then you just got to sit tight for another day for the NFL stuff, and I'll be able to digest it at my leisure on Monday morning and Monday afternoon. Okay, enough of that nonsense. Let's get to a couple of emails first, and then we'll talk to Andy. This is from, first one here is from Scott Cloutier in Wilmington, Delaware, by way of Racine, Wisconsin. He says, Steez, I know this is late to the party, but I think I put my finger on why the NFL season goes so fast. It's actually threefold. One, games are only once a week. Two, with the exception of any power ranking listing, it's the only sport where the weeks and games are numbered. On top of that, it's a finite and relatively small number at that, 17. And number three, all of this is going on with the undertone of a lot of other things occurring. The World Series, start of the NHL, NBA seasons, etc. Three major holidays coming up, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's a lot happening. And it's a limited amount of time for anyone to focus on it, so the NFL just keeps clicking along in the background. Those factors are what makes the season seem to be so damn fast. I don't believe I'm going to say this, but it makes the Francesa bit you guys do every week on You Are Looking Live funny and actually pertinent at the same time. My opinions for what it's worth. Scott Cloutier, thank you for that one. This one from Reed in Clinton, Maryland. Zabe, next time you're in D.C., go to Ted's Bulletin. I think there is one in Ballston. They sell homemade Pop-Tarts any way you want them. Go check it out. Homemade Pop-Tarts. Interesting. I just want the Pop-Tarts we buy at the store to be coated corner to corner. Should not be that hard. And if they wanted to make a Pop-Tart extreme version where they coated both sides, I'd be down for that as well. This one from John Zierke. Zabe, I know it's football season, but you might be interested in learning more about this lawsuit that's going on. Michael Jordan has the money to spend on attorneys, and NASCAR doesn't want to open their books. It's an antitrust case that is rattling the very foundation of NASCAR. Anyhow, this podcast below outlines everything well. P.S. Have lawyers ever made sports better? Frowny face. Oh, my God. NASCAR and antitrust law in one story? Oh, my God. Oh, sign me. It's football season. Not that I'm sure it's not interesting, but to quote the great, sweet Georgia Brown, ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. This one from David in Tulsa. He says, Zabe, you are a jerk, but that's okay, because after you read the email on the podcast with Mr. X about ruining Scott Hansen by pointing out how his version of the red zone is far inferior to that which Andrew Siciliano once did, I immediately thought about how you were also one of the first jerks I heard openly criticizing Al Michaels. But boy, were you never more right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyhow, I've been a fan of yours since 05 in college, found the Zabecast randomly in 2016. I've been a premium subscriber since around 2019. Thank you for all the great podcast content, you and your dedication to the craft for so long. It's the only must-listen podcast for me. Be well, David, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I love those emails. Thank you very much. Then there's this Tim Cross in Williamsburg, Virginia. Zabe, as a proud William & Mary alum and longtime football season ticket holder, I was interested in your recent discussion of Darren Sharper, since he is a former William & Mary football player. William & Mary, oh, what were they? Were they the Indians? Did they change that? In the context of whether or not bad people should be allowed into sports halls of fame, you might be interested to know that Sharper was indeed admitted to the William & Mary Athletics Hall of Fame in 2008. However, after he pled guilty to rape charges, let's be specific here. He pled guilty to serial drug-induced date raping. Not once, but multiple. Scum of the earth. The college removed him from the hall after that. In doing so, the athletic director explained the criteria by saying it includes both athletic excellence and good citizenship. I think that decision reflects well on my alma mater. I enjoy and subscribe to the podcast. Keep up the great work. Tim Cross in Williamsburg, Virginia. Yes, I agree. It does reflect well, although what are you going to do? You had to, right? And I do believe that that should be part of any mission statement for any athletic Hall of Fame. It is not enough just to be good at the sport. You have to have a certain baseline of good citizenship. And where that baseline is, oh, it's going to vary. It's going to vary person to person. But certain ones are easy. Serial drug-induced date raping, murder, pedophilia, those are easy ones. It's the gray area stuff that gets a bit murky. And I think that's where Pete Rose currently sits. If I may, before I get to Andy, a quick opinion on your favorite topic, replay in sports. I know, you're going to groan right now. Oh, he's going there. This is not a rant. And I promise, let's get the timer out. I'll go 2 minutes or less. Ready? It's very simple. Replay is there to get things right. We have the technology. Why would you want a bad call to stand? Okay, in theory, I get it. Seventh inning, Royals, Yankees, game one, best of five, ALDS. It's been a great game. They've changed the lead four times at that point. This was going to be the fifth lead change of the game. And Jazz Chisholm. Whenever I see the name Chisholm, I think of my high school gym teacher, Sonny Chisholm. C-H-I-S-O-L-M. You can imagine a bunch of immature, testosterone-laden high schoolers with the name Chisholm for the gym coach, can't you? And what would ensue from that? But anyway, Jazz Chisholm steals second in the seventh inning and was initially called safe. Bang, bang, call, real close. Michael Massey, shortstop for the Royals, made an incredible move to gyrate, and he kind of took a high throw from home and brought it down, bam, right on the foot just before it touches the bag, or not quite. They go to review, and at first I'm like, he's out. Come on. Or at first I'm like, he's safe. Come on. Then they show not one, not two, but three different, crystal clear, probably 4K 240 frames per second angles with a long telephoto lens that were zoomed in on the bag. Three angles that show you, oh, son of a bitch. His slide was ass and he came up just short and the tag from Massey was there. Boom. Even Ron Darling, who's nice guy, handsome, former great ball player, but not a smart man, says, well, that's going to be overturned right there. He's clearly out. And then they come back and they go, the play stands as called. And everything moves on. It's the dumbest thing ever. We got to have replay. You got to have the calls right. Never mind the fact that this is a tie game, seventh inning, high leverage, best of five only postseason series. And there's a call at second that would end up being the winning run because the Yankees were able to drive Chisholm home with two outs in that inning. So, hey, big deal. It was wrong. We looked at it. We stared at the wrongness of it and go, yeah, nah. And let it stand. Fucking burn replay to the ground. And it doesn't help that, oh, where was the game? In New York. Who was playing? The New York Yankees. Where is the review center for Major League Baseball? New York. Where is their headquarters? New York. This is the kind of stuff that taints people's perception of fairness. That's another thing replay does. By allowing a disembodied entity to stick their fingers into the very fabric of the games we play and watch and root for and bet on, you invite people to take them less seriously and to say, well, this is fucking bullshit. Of course you're going to let the Yankees slide on this. And that ends my rant. All right, tag, 3 minutes. It was 3 minutes. You live. It was 3 minutes. Didn't scream, didn't yell. Hashtag death doll replay. Coming up, Andy Poland is easy like Sunday morning. We have a lot to discuss, including the seismic upset of Alabama by Vanderbilt and the goalposts, which ended up down in the river 3 miles away by the end of the night. You are listening to the Zabecast. Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
had to go.
New York. Oh. The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. This is Ed McMahon, along with Tommy Newsom and the NBC Orchestra, inviting you to join Johnny and his guests, Truman Capote, Robert Klein, Tammy Grimes, and World Heavyweight Champion, Joe Frazier. And now, here's Johnny.
Had to go old school on you there, Andy, and I jumped the intro there. Yeah. Unbelievable. Do you remember watching The Tonight Show when it was from New York?
Vaguely. I think it moved to California like 1972.
Right.
But yes, it was. And look at that guest list. Truman Capote Frazier. Oh my God.
Who the fuck was I've heard that name, but I don't know who it is. Truman Capote. Oh.
Well, famous author. He wrote In Cold Blood, which became an incredible movie with Blake in it. And he was sort of like a more than an author. He was a
novelist, screenwriter, playwright, and actor.
Yeah, but he just had a knack for showing up at famous places and hanging with famous people.
He became famous for being famous, is what
you're saying. Yeah, I mean, he was an accomplished author, but he was not a prolific author. I don't think he wrote too many books, but he was able to make the scene.
Right. All right, let's start with college football Saturday. What a day it was. Even though it looked like kind of a meh slate of games, it turned out to be a blockbuster of upsets. Five upsets in the top 11, including the biggest tree to fall. Alabama has gone down and gone down hard at Vanderbilt, the one living bye week in the SEC, the place that Nick Saban on the set of College Game Day said 3 weeks ago, the only place is not hard to play in the SEC is at Vanderbilt. And they beat Alabama 1 week after their game against Georgia. That was a thriller.
You know, I was thinking, it wasn't even on my radar because I thought, well, no need to pay attention to this. This would be like 51-10. And then I thought of when Joe Gibbs retired the first time, Richie Pettibone's the coach. They beat Dallas on Monday night, 35-16. And people say, Joe who? And that team finished 4-12. So, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, after last week where they beat Georgia, some of the Alabama fans are going, Nick who? And now it's like panic time. Kalen DeBoer, what? You lost at Vanderbilt? This has to be among the greatest regular season upsets in history, even though Alabama's playing on the road.
Right.
I mean, this is unthinkable that Alabama would lose to Vanderbilt.
It's certainly iconic, and I'd have to go back to the down years of Alabama the last time Vanderbilt beat them, and they've had flirting success, Vanderbilt, with being not awful at times. But otherwise, they're a smarty-pants school stuck in the middle of the cutthroat Deep South football factory conference that is the SEC.
Yeah. It's Alabama at number one. I mean, it's not just, number five, number six Alabama. It's number one Alabama coming off showing the rest of the SEC. We're the big boys now. And wow, that's a stunner.
It really is. And to me, you mentioned DeBoer. DeBoer is a fine football coach in college. I got nothing against him. He's done good work coming over from Washington, but he's just another coach. What set Nick Saban apart, aside from his epic rants at the podium with the Coca-Cola bottle sitting on top of it and him getting increasingly angry with every question that came by on a week in which they were playing somebody inferior, and he could tell the media didn't give a shit about this hapless cupcake they're about to crush. He was the one that had to make sure his team did the thing on Saturday. Aside from that, the brilliance of Nick Saban is, other than the seven championships, he never lost to Vanderbilt. That's the thing. He made sure this calamity never happened on his watch. And that's what the truly pantheon great coaches do. Agree?
Right. I would absolutely agree. Yeah, I mean, and what you said about how he would set it up was perfect. And that term that he used, rat poison,
right,
was just exactly the right touch. And and now it's like, oh my God, what is going to happen? If they lose two more games, are they going to run Kalen DeBoer out of there?
Who are you going to get next? Who
it's
else
Alabama.
Is out there? Well,
it's okay. Alabama. They'll get somebody.
Well, you say somebody. I'm telling you, the appetite for the replacement hot coach has outstripped the supply of available replacement hot coaches. I mean, maybe get this guy Cignetti out of Indiana, who came from JMU, who's got Indiana football, Andy, 5-0. Tell me Jeremy is not peacocking right now.
Well, it's funny. You know, he lives in Seattle now, and he was thinking about going to, and maybe he regrets it a little bit, going to the Washington-Michigan game yesterday.
Okay.
But since his Hoosiers were playing and going for 6-0 and trying to become the first bowl eligible team in the land,
right,
he stayed home and he watched it. So, yeah.
I said they were 5-0. They're 6-0. You're right. Exactly. Yeah. And he's doing a phenomenal job there. I just don't know if you were to cash out DeBoer, who's the next obvious guy in waiting. All these programs have churned and burned, and you know, it's something else. And like I said, DeBoer's a good coach, but getting your team to play hard after a near-death experience against your hated rival the week before, probably one of the hardest things to do. And
yeah,
Saban was able to do that. By the way, last three meetings against Vanderbilt, 55-3, 59-0, 34-0. They had a couple of close games mixed in along the way, 24-10, 13-10, but they still beat Vanderbilt. You have to go back to the last time they lost was 1984, 30-21 in Tuscaloosa. Vanderbilt shocked Alabama.
I'm trying to think who was the coach, you know, that could have been. Oh, you know who that was? That was the coach who left the Giants so that
Ray Perkins.
Ray Perkins, right. That's who that was, right.
Here we go. Alabama list of coaches. Ray Perkins was there from 83 to 86. Son of a bitch. Andy Poland, people, I tell you, the guy doesn't miss on them old factoids. Absolutely right on that one. So that was one thing from Saturday. The other thing about Saturday was College Game Day whittled its remaining venues they've never been to down to just four by taking the University of California at Berkeley, better known as Cal, also known as the alma mater of my older brother Jim, off their list because Cal is having a moment. And it was a wild scene in which not only were the fans there in force before sunrise, they had been there all night, Andy, for this traveling television roadshow.
Well, you were in college. I had kids in college. You had kids in college. So you know that 6 a.m. is not a wake-up time. So
no, it's not.
It's one of those things where, no, we're not going to wake up at 5 to get there, so let's just stay up all night.
Well, the game wasn't until 7:30 West Coast time anyway, so to be up at that hour was just insane. But of the four schools remaining that have never hosted the iconic College Game Day, your Subway alma mater, the University of Maryland at College Park, is one of them.
Well,
do you think you will live long enough, Andy, to see that day?
I don't know, but I do know that the radio showed up there one year.
Doesn't count.
Okay. Well,
you're grasping for straws right now.
Yeah. No, I you know, I don't know. I mean, I think Mike Locksley does a really good job there.
Right.
I mean, he does talk about winning Big Ten championships, which is fine. But he's getting them in bowl games year after year, and I think realistically between 7 and 9 wins a year is what you can hope for.
Did I say it was down to four schools? I might have misspoke on that. I think it's a few more. I'm looking at this article right now of the programs that have never had it. It includes places like Syracuse.
Syracuse has never had it?
Nope. Syracuse, Illinois, Rutgers. And they'll have a chance with Rutgers this year because they're pretty good. SMU, which had a big win as well, and Virginia and Maryland. Which will be the last of those schools? Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers, SMU, Syracuse, Virginia. The last one to host College Game Day. You got to be good enough and relevant enough to have them come and bring their trucks and everything.
Yeah. Now, Syracuse is playing some big schools now. I mean, the way the conferences are all lined up and then, you know, Maryland being in an 18 team Big Ten. But they also have restructured how the schedule is set up.
Sure.
So Maryland's not playing Ohio State and Michigan anymore. Right. So yeah, they may be the last man standing.
Yeah. Back to the Vanderbilt thing. Two things I did not mention. Did you see the Diego Pavia interview after the game? He's the quarterback for Vanderbilt.
I did not.
Okay. Take a listen to this, how he pivots from thanking God for giving him a vision to then uttering an expletive and saying, look, Vandy, we're turnt right now, which is what the kids say, Andy, when things are wild or particularly boisterous. Turnt, T-U-R-N-T. Here he is. Hold on a second. Okay, and there we go.
From the jump, God gave me a vision when I was a little kid, and he don't let that, and he promises it's God's time. Like, I'm super thankful for guys like Eli Sowers. Man, that kid's incredible. The ref RT, look at this. Vandy, we're fucking turnt!
Vandy, he sort of ran out of his train of thought on the whole God gave me a vision thing and then looked around and said, Vandy, we fucking turned.
Look at this. Vandy, we fucking turned.
And with all due respect, the Lord came to him and said, you're going to quarterback Vanderbilt to a victory over Alabama?
He said,
God gets really specific with his picks, doesn't he?
Oh, here we go, Andy, with the religion shaming. You're right. You're not wrong, by the way. It's a little bit much. But look, if that's what he claims, that's what he claims. Who knows? But I just love the thing at the end. Of course, he wasn't the only athlete that got loose in their post game interview. Miami came from 35-10 down in the third to stun Cal, because Cal was going to win that game going away. And Cam Ward, the transfer from Washington State at quarterback, was the star of the show. And as he's being interviewed by Stan Verrett on SportsCenter, a teammate came over and whoops, this happened.
He just got to keep playing football.
Oh yeah,
the shit too. About nigga, shit boy. Hey, just got.
Oh, my God. Good shit, too. That's what I'm talking about. Word I can never say. And good shit, boy. And then he's like, oh, yeah. Sorry. What was I doing here?
Yeah. Well, they also employ a midday host with a tank top who likes to drop that word liberally. So I don't think ESPN can get really worked up about that.
They also have Nick Saban, who said, if you get the wrong guys in the portal, you're shit out of luck. Said shit on the air. They had him repeat the line this week as I was watching College Game Day. So, I mean, the runaway train of informality, I suppose, on television with athletes and curse words shows no signs of leveling out. And I'm not really a prude, but part of me says, okay, hold on. We should probably have a certain amount of decorum. No.
Well, also, there's some art to being able to say that kind of emotion without using that word. And, you know, I think that you should attempt to get that same thought out without the four-letter word. And then the next step is the big F, right? And, I mean, how far does, you know, when do you stop?
I think the quarterback for Vandy saying Vandy, we're turnt is fine. I think the F-bomb is unnecessary. I think the good shit boy from Cam Ward to his receiver is okay. I don't like that N-word. It just nails on a chalkboard to me. I don't like hearing it, even if he's allowed to use it and he meant it as a term of affection. I just don't like that on the air.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, yeah. But by the way, the goalposts at Vandy ended up down in the river, which is no small feat. The Cumberland River. I had to look it up because all these news reports are like, they threw it in the river. I'm like, which river? And there's multiple rivers around there. So it was the Cumberland, which was 3 miles away.
Wow.
They then fished the goalpost out of the river, the police did and the firefighters, and now they're going to cut it up and sell it as a fundraising effort for Vanderbilt football. That's some classic shit. I remember the golden age of ripping down goalposts, which seemed to be in the mid to late 90s, and then they started employing extreme measures to prevent students from doing that because there was kids getting hurt, the goalposts are not cheap, and a bunch of other reasons, and then it kind of went away for a while. Like,
well, I was at a game in the early 2000s, maybe even 2001, where Maryland beat Clemson, and they took down the goalposts.
At Bird?
It was then Bird Stadium, and they were parading the goalposts through the campus as we were driving home, and my daughter said, this is where I want to go. And I was thinking, cha-ching, yeah. Would have saved me a fortune if that would have happened. But she went to Wisconsin instead.
What is the field now? Is it Under Armour Field at Xfinity Stadium?
Or it's Saquon Stadium, because they found out that Bird had been involved in helping to keep blacks out of campus. Not enrolling. Ooh,
yeah. Who's Saquon?
Some sponsor. I don't know what the product is.
So it is a corporate sponsor.
Yeah, but it was called Bird forever.
Okay,
that's
a win-win. Beat racism and then make money. Yeah. Winning and winning on top of that. Meanwhile, USC lost to Minnesota.
Yeah, at Minnesota.
At Minnesota on a late touchdown by Minnesota. And after the game, Lincoln Riley decided he was going to help reporters do their jobs by telling a reporter, don't answer this question. It's not a professional question. Here it was.
Jamil, did you feel like that last touchdown they got in for Minnesota?
No, don't ask it. Next question.
On the third and
who
fourth.
Who cares what he says? By what, player's opinion? Let's ask a more professional question.
Okay. Is Lincoln Riley out of bounds?
Yeah, it's an opinion. That's what you do. You ask opinions.
Right.
So, it wasn't him that scored the touchdown or his team, but I think that's completely an inbounds question. And Lincoln Riley editing like that, he's 3-2, and maybe they're about to run him out of there because they think he's a fraud. I don't know.
This has got shades of being a huge disaster for Lincoln Riley and USC, because while their defense is better than that was last year, and that was a low bar because their defense was god awful. They spent a ton of money on not just him, but also on all their nil imports, and they should not be losing to Minnesota. I don't care if it's, first trip around the Big Ten, and these schools give you a lot bigger fight than you thought because every fan base is like, holy shit, University of Southern California is coming to our campus. They should not even be in these games, and they're losing them now, which is bad for Lincoln Riley. And then he turns into a bitch afterwards and decides what questions are, quote, professional or not. Fuck off.
Right. And, if you don't have Caleb Williams anymore, you better go find yourself one in the transfer portal because, that's your expectation. You're the quarterback whisperer. You keep cranking out these Heisman Trophy winners. Go find one. And if you don't, you're of no use because obviously you're not a very good coach.
Yeah. One more thing. I got to jump back to the Cal game. I'm sorry. I'm back and forth and back and forth. But Reese Davis should win an award if they have one of these in the industry for the ultimate marathon man day. He was called the game from Miami between Miami and Cal because the regular play-by-play guy had a personal matter that called him away from the stadium on game day. I forget the name of the play-by-play guy who was going to call the game. So Reese Davis, who had been up for a makeup call, no doubt, at dark midnight on the West Coast to be the host of College Game Day, ended up going till past midnight on the East Coast calling that game. Here was how bad his voice sounded at the end of the game.
432 yards. Canes need five more. Martinez. And then the flip out. And Arroyo gets into the end zone. Elijah Arroyo. And the game is tied.
So there it was. There he was, had to be spent, by the way. And that's a hell of a day of work right there, isn't it?
No question. And good for him for stepping up and being a team player. The other part of this is he didn't have any time to prep for the game. He didn't think he was going to do it. These guys, they spend a good part of the week preparing to do this, making their boards and all that. So, to not only the hours that he put in, but the fact that he probably wasn't as prepared as he would have liked to have been, that's pretty good.
Dave Fleming was due to call the game. They said he was unable to call family it matter. Due to a personal matter.
Hmm.
All right, let's turn to the NFL. It is week 5. I've already alerted my listeners, Andy, they will not get any results in today's podcast, which drops on Monday morning, because I'm rearranging my production schedule so I can relax once I'm done talking to you on this Sunday morning. But I need to ask a question, or I need to read an email that asks a question of me that I need your input on. And that is, am I ex-wifing you and your Commanders? You ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. JD writes to say, I appreciate the episode on Monday with Andy. Thanks for finally giving the the Washington football team some love. I had an emailer say, please don't say Commander ever again. I can't stand the name. And I promised to do so, but I just said it. Sorry. He says, thank you for finally giving the Washington football team some love. This time, you seemed genuinely pleased about the team's hot start and the success so far of Jaden Daniels and the newfound excitement in and around the DMV, your hometown. On most Mondays with Andy, any references to the Wooft tends to be like you're talking to him about running into an ex-wife. Cordial, but hopeful to hear some juicy shit and perhaps unflattering gossip about her. Sincerely, JD. Do I ex-wife the Commanders when I talk to you?
Well, I found your approach to be very interesting, given that I spent years trying to get you out of the habit of saying we. And so,
mission accomplished.
And now, everybody in town is saying we and jumping back on the bandwagon. And Tony Kornheiser, who wrote bandwagon columns over 30 years ago,
right,
is being asked to bring it out again, even though he doesn't work for the Post anymore.
Four games, and they're like, hey, get the bandwagon back together again.
Yeah, well, so, we've waited a long time, So, yeah, you divorced this person, and now she's a supermodel, and,
Whoa. She's looked good in a couple of Instagram posts. Not a supermodel yet, for God's sakes. Come on, Andy.
I've welcomed you back. We haven't filled your chair yet. So if you'd like to come back, you're always welcome.
Okay. I don't think that I try to be as fair as possible when I talk to you about them. And I am happy for you guys. But let's not get carried away. Big game today at noon or at 1 o'clock. Yes. Home game. You going?
No, okay. But I will be at the TV. I'm going to the Bears game in 2 weeks.
Bears Commanders.
Yep.
Well, that should be juicy right there to the two top picks at quarterback in the NFL. We'll see where each guy is at that point, right?
Yeah, and look, these are two big games. If they win this and then they go to Baltimore and win, I mean, already the networks are flipping out over this guy, Jaden
Daniels.
They're
fighting for games. That's what's crazy. Not just the number one jersey seller on Fanatics this week, Jaden Daniels, but they wanted to flex the future Commanders-Ravens game to Sunday night, and CBS protected it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing right there.
I don't know if they can do that much deeper into the season, though. I think that once they get past week 5 or 6, I think NBC can take what they want.
All right, I got Sunday morning brain. Who do they play again today at 1? I forgot.
Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. The Browns are in town. Yeah. All right, last question here. So the Brewers got absolutely gutted last Thursday night. I know. Last Thursday night, as they lost in the ninth inning to the Mets, Pete Alonso, 3-run home run off the best closer in baseball, arguably, in Devin Williams with his patented airbender changeup. Just unbelievable end to an otherwise Cinderella season of a young team that was really coming together and a future being bright and a new manager that took over for the guy who left to the rival Cubs and Craig Counsell. Great season ends suddenly. Horrible, horrible, maudlin, heartbreaking, funeral-like vibe the day afterwards. Question. And they said, well, put it on the list because, there's been quite a few heartbreaks along the way for Wisconsin sports and, Milwaukee-based sports. And I thought to myself, what was the biggest heartbreak? I'm specifically using that word in D.C. sports.
Okay, I'm going to give you two because they're very different in the way that they line up here, and they both involve the Redskins.
Okay.
The game that they played in Dallas at the end of the 1979 season, if they won, they would win the division and be in the playoffs. If they lost, they were out of the playoffs. They were up 13 points in the fourth quarter, and Roger Staubach, in his last great comeback, second to last game of his career, threw a touchdown pass to Tony Hill with seconds to go, and they lost that game. The heartbreak of that was unbelievable. The other one is the Raiders Super Bowl, Super Bowl 18. That was a complete blowout. But the heartbreak of, oh, my God, we're on the verge of two straight Super Bowl championships. We're going to be mentioned with both the greatest teams of all time. And it was just disgusting. And the rocket screen right before half just crushed everybody. So those would be my two.
Those are two good ones, no question. And you're right about the dynamic of when you have a second Super Bowl lined up and you don't cash that chip, it takes away a lot of the sort of shine and luster of the one that you had before. Yeah. I would say that the Packers feel that way about when Favre lost to the Broncos. That would have been their bookend back-to-back one. I'd say that Russell Wilson and the Seahawks feel that way about the one they let get away against the Patriots.
Those were close, though. I know. Those are games they could have won.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Now, to me, when I thought about that Raider game, it was a disaster. But it wasn't a heartbreak because it was such an ass whooping, and we found out later there was so much shit going on behind the scenes in Tampa that year that you're like, well, no wonder we lost. We had no chance, basically.
Right.
Players' wives allegedly, you know, fornicating with others behind the scenes. So that to me was not quite as much of a heartbreak. But that one with the Cowboys in the regular season, oh, it broke my heart as a kid. I remember it distinctly. I fucking hated Roger Staubach so bad for that one. But all the others, I mean, like Georgetown losing to Villanova in the championship game.
That was bad.
Was that a heartbreak? It's hard to have a heartbreak for a overdog like what Georgetown was with Ewing and with the imperious John Thompson as coach, right? You don't have your heart broken for what is perceived to be a juggernaut or a bully team, right?
Yeah, also, when Fred Brown threw the pass away, they were behind. It wasn't like, you know, that was protecting a lead or anything like that.
That's another one right there.
So then, but the other, if you want to go college basketball, Maryland up 22 in the Final Four against Duke and losing. That was a killer.
That was a killer, but luckily redeemed by Gary the next year by winning it all.
But they had also been up during the regular season against Duke by 10 with a minute to go, and they lost that in overtime. So,
well, you want to know how to not be heartbroken by sports?
Don't watch.
That's right. Goddamn right. Go apple picking and realize how miserable life is. You want to live. You want to feel the highs, Andy, and the lows.
And I know this isn't going to go over well, but
still time to pull it back. Go ahead.
You know, Howie Rose is not only one of the best broadcasters, one of the best people I've ever met in this business. And his call of the three-run shot is so spectacular and just so spot on. It's just great. I know it's going to crush people in Milwaukee, but for him, I was so happy to hear that.
Yeah, fuck him. All right, Andy. No, you're not wrong about that. But we have Uke, and Uke is probably going to retire, and he's
really?
Not. According to the vibes I've heard, people I've heard, it's just a feeling. I mean, shit, he's 90-something years old, I think.
90, yeah. And he's only doing home games, right?
He's only doing home games, and he's still quite spry and mentally with it at that age, which God bless him for that. But, yeah, anyway, good for Howie Rose. Much better than Michael Kay, that hack. All right, Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll chat next week. Thank you.
All right, Dave. Take care.
That's why I'm here. Sunday morning.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.